Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the New Year's Christmas festive VAR episode of the Football Drop podcast. Hello.
What was that intro? Was you going to say this is the New Year's episode and realise it's not the New Year
yet? I thought that it would be something that, because last one was the festive episode, so I thought we could do the New Year episode, but then we're going to talk about the festive season.
Right.
So then it's still festive, but not quite as festive as the previous festive episode. But it's not quite New Year, because the New Year's episode, we're just planning in to see when we can do the New Year's episode. So yeah. It's kind of the Gooch episode.
This is the Gooch episode. It's that type of year where nobody knows what date it is. Nobody knows what on earth they're doing. It's just one of those, what day is it? Don't know.
Don't know. Everyone, I'm feeling like I need to just not eat for the next 6 days because I've probably consumed so much food and alcohol and cheese and stuff that I probably just need to not eat now till the new year.
Yeah, I feel you, mate. I've had two massive Christmas dinners.
Have you?
Yeah, and I'm so full up. I'm still full up. I've just had so much turkey, so much beef, so much gammon, so many pigs in blankets. I was just going to say, mate.
I need to know how many pigs in blankets you've eaten.
Okay, so Christmas, so the week leading up to Christmas, I had 18 during the week. Now, that's purely because I cooked loads for work and then left them at home.
Oh, yeah, I remember getting the text.
Yeah.
My pigs in blankets at home. What a shame. I'll eat them when I get back.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I was so annoyed because I'd spent so long making them and cooking them the night before. I stayed up proper late to make them, which was a bit of a kick in the teeth. But no, so I managed to eat all 18 of those. No, it was 18
or 20. Can I just say, sorry to interrupt. So when you say making them, you took them out of the pack.
No, I wrapped it myself though.
Oh, you wrapped them?
Yeah, I wrapped them myself. Yeah. And then what else have I had? Oh, I've had a pigs in blanket bap from Greg's on the Thursday. Ooh. So that's another two or three. So pigs in blanket count. What are we at?
So what are we at? 21.
We're at 21. I had two or three on Christmas Day breakfast. I think it was two on breakfast.
I'm going to say three.
No, I think it was two. Yeah, it was two because I cooked 10. Because they were in packs of eight, so I cooked 10. And then we had none at Laura's parents because they don't do pigs in blankets with their dinners, which still blows my mind.
I know how angry you are. About a month in advance, I get told this story. I am
I'll be honest though, so what Laura's mum does is she does like sausage meat instead. So mm-hmm. she did a couple of them in squares and sliced them up. And she did sausage meatballs. I'm not going to lie, the sausage meatballs were fucking banging. I think I had six of those. No, maybe five?
Wow.
Five, I think.
The bed.
So yeah, they were nice. And then Boxing Day, so yesterday, I had two cold while I was waiting for dinner. And then I think I had 10 with dinner. Maybe 11. Wow, so, maybe 11 with dinner.
So around about 35, and
in the morning I had two more with breakfast.
So I would say you're probably just shy of 40 pigs in blankets. Right.
And the Christmas spirit and the Christmas festive period is not over yet.
I reckon you could definitely hit a half century. I reckon you could go full cricketer. And got aim for a century.
Yeah. A century, basically, like four balls. 4 days worth. Bang, 50.
Yeah. This is a test for you. He's in a test series.
I think I'm going to go to Tesco after this. I'm like, yeah, can I just have a pack of 12 chipolatas? I've still got a pack of streaky bacon in the fridge. All good. Jeez. I did have bacon with these as well, by the way.
I've had bacon sandwiches.
Yeah.
You would have had pigs in blankets and then you'd have had sausage and bacon as well.
I didn't have extra sausage. I just had extra bacon though.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing. And did you say you had like 10 of those pork balls things that her mum makes?
No, like 5 or 6.
Okay, that's definitely come down.
No, I didn't say 10, honestly.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
It's not bad, is it?
You've had a lot of sausage.
Mate, I've had a lot of pork. Because I had 6 or 7 slices of gammon at Dad's yesterday as well.
Oh, wow, okay. Oh, we've got a gammon to cook, actually. That reminds me.
Oh, what time are you cooking it? I fucking love gammon.
Yeah, I don't know. I might do it tonight.
Tell Selge I'll be over.
Yeah, maybe she just expects that.
I love how I saw you on Christmas Eve. And chatting away, obviously gave you your presents and stuff, so ready for Christmas Day. Gave the kids, obviously brought the kids presents around as well. And Sel just literally didn't even really properly offer me a drink. Just kind of went, Chepsy? As if to say, just sort of nodded. She just assumed she knows. She just knows now.
She knows, mate. She's a good girl. She knows. She's Love just that. Like, yeah, this guy wants mate, when you come around next, I reckon Chepsy and Pigs in Blankets will just be on the arm of the chair.
Oh, mate, don't toy with my heart. Oh, mate, don't do that. God, I'm excited at the thought of it. This is amazing.
Yeah. Do you need a minute?
I'm okay. We can continue.
Cool. Thank you very much for those presents, by the way. I really liked my little book.
Have you read it?
Jacket. Yeah, not fully. No, I've read most of it, but it's just getting the time. I've not really had the time, mate, to do anything. But yeah, Jack was like, "Okay, this is you," and I'll be the keeper. So I think I might have to get him one. But yeah, it's a book of basically me being a fan. Arsenal get so many injuries. I get drafted in. Score the winner to win the Premier League, and then I'll play the next game and we win the FA Cup. So I get the double for the Gooners. But mate, honestly, that was banging. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I saw it and was like, yep, gotta get it. I think I saw that in about September, October.
I had it
saved as a link ready to rock and roll on my computer. Sticky notes thing I've got. I've literally just had loads and loads of links and stuff ready to rock and roll.
Brilliant. No, that was superb. I felt bad because I just got your mug.
Yes, that was a very tasteful mug, wasn't it, Will? Thank you.
Have you got that for work? Very sweet.
No, I haven't actually. I haven't even been downstairs yet.
Oh, really?
I rolled out of bed and was like, right, need to do the podcast in half an hour. Right, let's get in the PC. Get in the office, sorry. Get in the PC. Sit in the PC, guys. Get in the office, get ready, rock and roll. Here, once we've done this, I'll venture downstairs, get some breakfast, and then crack on with work, sadly.
Yeah, that is sad for you. Off.
Yeah, man. It's, as you said, it's that sort of weird time of the year where you're like, oh, well, I've got to work now. Like, some people are off, some people are working. You just never know. You can't really make plans for anything. But the only bonus is I'm working from home. So there's no travel, which is nice.
We're tackling IKEA on Friday, so wish us luck. Ooh. Yeah. Hopefully the relationship lasts.
But especially on Friday. Why don't you go on the Thursday? It's a little bit quieter.
Oh, we got kids tomorrow. We've got a kid-free day.
Take them with you. No chance.
Now, got a kid-free day Friday and Saturday, so we thought, what best to do than to end the relationship as we currently have it?
Fantastic.
And argue in IKEA car park.
Mate, it is proper stressful, isn't it? It genuinely is a test for couples.
I think it's the getting the stuff into the car, or like one of us being like, yeah, that'll get in the car. And then the other one looking at the other one with like absolute content, like, what the fuck are you on about? And then you're in the car park and then, see, told you. And then it just starts from there. But Selge did say, if you get some food for me from IKEA, what do they do, like
meatballs? Yes, mate.
Yeah, I've never had a meatball from IKEA.
Honestly, I hadn't until 3 and a bit years ago. Changed my life.
It changed your life. Wow, what a
Laura
statement.
And I had this the day we
IKEA
got engaged.
IKEA meatballs changed my life.
Changed my life. I think we've got a title.
Oh, really? It's either that or the Gooch episode. One of the two. I like them both.
I'm leaning more towards the IKEA meatballs, to be honest. I feel like the Gooch episode won't quite explain what the episode's all about. But obviously, IKEA meatballs, everyone will understand exactly what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, you had that the day that you got engaged?
Yeah, that was our romantic lunch together.
IKEA meatballs,
chips.
I still don't think I'm over your engagement party. I think there's still a little part of me that's still a bit pissed.
Really? I mean, you did drink a hell of a lot.
Mate, I'm still struggling. I think I'm going to quit alcohol. I think that's it. I'm done. I've consumed all my alcohol that I can.
You're going to quit alcohol, and I'm going to quit eating pigs and blankets at Christmas.
All right, fair play. Yeah, but for about as both as likely.
Yeah, nice. What's been happening in the news then?
What has been happening? Should we move on to the news?
Yeah, Jim Ratcliffe. 25% of Man United. Done dealio.
Oh. Nice.
Oh. Yeah, done deal now.
Yeah. Done deal. Done.
Is that going to change Man United's fortunes?
Potentially.
Will they change their manager in the future? Or in the not too distant future, I should say.
This is always the thing, isn't it? Because I think we saw it with Todd Bowley at Chelsea, where he came in and got rid of Potter, brought in Poch eventually. I think that is a real possibility. I think Ten Hag is definitely under pressure, a little bit less under pressure than after yesterday's result, which we can go into later. But yeah, it's an interesting one because he's going to take charge of sort of some of the more like the is he sporting director? Is that his role?
No, that's Dave Brailsford, I think, isn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah. No, he's taking on he's more he's involved.
The whole
he's
footballing over, side, aren't they? From him and the company and stuff.
So the Glazers are still involved, of course, but yeah, I think he's taking on that
actually
responsibility.
They still want to make even more money than they could have made because they're greedy fuckers. But yeah.
But yeah, I think it will be a good thing to take the Glazers away and have Ratcliffe there with a share in the company, as you know they probably are. So I think, you know, if he's got that controlling stake, sorry, not controlling stake, but he's got a stake in the club, he can have some control over what decisions happen in the board. He's been wanting to buy Man United for so long now. He's remained quite persistent. So he obviously loves the club. And if he loves the club and he wants them to be successful, I personally think Ten Hag should leave.
That is bold. That is bold. Do you not think with thoughts? Time... I don't know. I'll always compare it to the situation that we had at Arsenal with Arteta. I mean, he was on the brink of getting sacked. We were in dire form, couldn't do anything properly, and now look at us. They kept with him. You know, I think Ten Hag's got a very difficult job because they've got a very crappy basic team. They've got a lot of egos there, a lot of high earners that don't deserve to be there, don't deserve to play for the badge, don't deserve to wear the shirt. So I think for them it's a similar situation. You know, they've got Martial, which is like Ozil basically, in a similar situation. He's on loads of money, does nothing for the team anymore, has a crap attitude. They've got players like Sancho, who's going to be similar to Aubameyang, doesn't do what he's told, pisses about, and has now been sort of axed from the team. So he could go in January. Been sent away, don't train with the team anymore, you're not allowed to be here on same amount of money as Aubameyang was, 350k a week. Yeah, they've got a lot of high earners there. Marcus Rashford potentially could go. You know, he's not been performing to the level he should be. He's been coming in for a lot of criticism lately. You know, I think they just need to have a complete refresh, bring in some younger, hungrier players, bring in some people from the youth team, which they're doing slowly but surely. Are they up to that standard? You've got to give them time. And Ten Hag could do that.
I think I do agree with what you're saying. I can see the similarity. I think you're harsh on Ozil, but I always think you're harsh on Ozil.
But you've got like I would say a soft spot, but it's not even soft. It's like the squidgiest spot possible for Ozil.
Yeah. Nice use of the word squidgy.
Squidgy.
The thing with that, and it could be because I'm an Arsenal supporter, just in case if you wasn't aware, I think with that, Arsenal, I could see the way Arteta wanted to play. I could see the project. I could just see where Arsenal were going. I could see Martinelli coming good. I could see Saka being great. I could see... Thomas Partey was doing things that Thomas Partey was doing. You could see Ødegaard becoming a really, really great player and showing that potential that he needed. We had William Saliba on the peripheral, who was like, why isn't he playing? He's top quality. Gabriel was doing okay. But then we got Ramsdale, and it's like, what the fuck? And then it's like, oh, okay, no, he's not too... With Man United, it's slightly different for me, because I see Anthony... And I see that, he has got he's got huge potential, but he's just a different player to like Saka or Martinelli, because he's quite greedy. I see Rashford, who actually I think had a great game yesterday. So did Garnacho. I think Hoyland will come good as well. So I think that front three could be great.
Mm. The problem with Hoyland, though, just to chime in just on this bit, is because he plays when Anthony plays, Anthony doesn't pass the ball, and Garnacho doesn't pass the ball to him.
Yeah, not Hoyland, Garnacho. Hoyland's up front.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. When Hoyland plays with Anthony and Garnacho, he gets no delivery because both of them cut inside and shoot. Whereas if they're crossing the ball to him, he's going to have more opportunities to score, which way he barely gets a touch of the ball, when he's in a game with them.
Hmm. I think the same could be for Jesus, the way Arsenal play at the moment. It's a little bit different. But going back into the middle of the field, I don't like Bruno because I just think he's selfish. I think he just strops. I don't think he's a natural leader. I don't think he's strong enough to captain the team, personally. But Man United, we're talking about Man United here.
Yeah,
and that isn't it. Scott McTominay has been their saviour almost, but is he good enough to be in a Man United team? I don't know. Varane has not been strong. They've got Evans, Maguire. Maguire could be great, but isn't. I just don't see that project coming into it. And then we look at the style of play. Up until yesterday, I didn't know what Man United's style of play would be. Yesterday was a very different game. I think they played very well against a very good Aston Villa team, in the second half especially. So I just can't see what that project is. And that's where I think Ten Hag needs to go. And they need to get somebody in who can figure out what Man United's style of play is, what they want it to look like, how they're going to do it. Because at the minute, I just think they're just like, oh yeah, let's just bomb forward and try and give the ball to Anthony and he'll see if he can score.
No, I do see a point with the whole sort of play style thing. But I know watching, we used to talk about this sort of over Christmas. Who did they bring in? Potter?
Maybe, well, yeah,
that could be a reenactment of the Chelsea situation.
You had a great shout with Thomas Frank. When you said Franks, I was like, Thomas Frank. When you said Frank, and I was like, Lampard, are you mad?
And then he was like, We would love that as Arsenal fans. That would be fans. Great. I mean, that would be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
But yeah, Thomas Frank, you know, he's done very well on a tight budget at Brentford. Albeit he's brought in lower caliber players at Brentford because of the budgets, and so he's obviously used his Scandinavian connections and stuff to bring in almost hidden gems from that sort of region. But that's not to say that they can't do that at Man United.
Bring in hidden gems from Scandinavia. You reckon that's where it is? So Højlund could be the start of many.
Could be. It could be. You don't know. I mean, he's got some good players at Brentford that are doing well. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I agree.
Obviously, with Man United, you've got a bigger budget. You've got bigger regions to scout from, bigger scouting networks generally. And you've got, and there's no disrespect to Brentford, but you've got a much bigger pool because of the calibre and history.
I think Brentford would agree with you. Yeah, an interesting one. So I think we started off with Ratcliffe taking over at United and descended into why Ten Hag shouldn't be there. But I think it will be interesting to see what's going to happen in the coming days. Coming months. I think Ten Hag has secured his position going into 2024, which will be interesting. But yeah, I do agree. It could be an opportunity for a project, and it could be something that Ratcliffe buys into and goes, all right, you got till the end of the season. I want to see you play good football by the end of the season.
Yeah, I do think now that they will give him to the end of the season, because as you said, they've shown glimpses. So yeah, it could be a bit of a turning point though.
Yeah, the other team in Manchester, they continue to be the best team in the world, winning the World Cup. They beat Fluminense 4-0 in the final. That competition, what do you actually think of it? Like the
It's
Club
a farce,
World Cup,
isn't it? It's just an absolute joke. It just highlights the level of European football generally compared to everywhere else. Like, it's entertaining games, but holy crap, you should not be beating a team 4-0 in a final.
It could have been
4-0 in the FA Cup, but yeah,
it could have been more. I mean, City haven't got De Bruyne or Haaland in their team. So they're missing the two, arguably their two best players. I mean, was Rodri playing? Did Rodri play the final?
I think he did. Yeah,
I think he went off injured, didn't he? Actually, in that game.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he did.
That's fantastic.
He went off injured sort of late on. So they're missing two of their best players, and they're thrashing them 4-0 in a final. Like, yeah, bit mad that one.
It would be great to see. And I think, you know, just kind of touching on like the Super League kind of idea, but every 4 years, wouldn't it be great to have a big Club World Cup like that? I know they're expanding the Club World Cup and stuff now, but to be able to have, you know, like two or three teams from there playing the Prem for a season or something like that, just something weird and wonderful. I think it'd just be amazing to have that. But I think the Club World Cup, you know, the changes they're making will make that a little bit more interesting. Especially for viewers to actually see these teams play a bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think I think a lot of this is going to be taken away, isn't it? I think if you look at lots of the way the ESL's gone, and you know, it seems like Saudi Arabia is the place where they want to take a lot of the sporting events, like the boxing at the weekend. That was done in Saudi. I think a lot of the ESL games were looking to be played abroad. I think Saudi Arabia will be like, "Yep, yeah, come here. We've got some of the best stadiums now."
Yeah, we've got 12 fans that will come.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think the game as it is going to be taken away from the fans and shown whoever's paying the most money.
Yeah, I think it's changing to a global scale, which is great for general access for fans. But for actual spectator fans who go to these games, it's detrimental to them.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. It's mad. but yeah, I think Manchester City have won five trophies in a calendar year now, which I think is the most for an English team. But
that's crazy.
The quality of their team can't be undermined. But for me, and it could be a biased thing, it could be whatever, and I think it's overshadowing. And I don't know what other people, I'd be interested to hear what other people's thoughts are. If you look up there.
This is so bad. How many times have you done this now?
You can get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts. What was I saying? Oh yeah,
literally, so, no idea, not Manchester a clue.
Manchester City are facing 115 charges for financial fair play irregularities, shall we say. They've not even got to a point of charging. They're still fuck-arsing around. just do it. Just fuck them over, mate. Yeah. Because it's clear, and if this was VAR, they'd be like, this is clear and obvious. Let's just do it.
So are you saying that everything they've won over the last sort of 10 years or so, there's that little asterisk next to it?
For me, there always is. Yeah, when I look at Manchester City's treble win, I don't see it as a treble win like the United team did. And this is coming from me, like, that was a proper win. Like, the Manchester United team was a proper team. Like, I hated everything about them, and I hated everything about that treble win. But because, especially as it came the year after Arsenal won the double, like,
yeah.
But I think Man United team was outstanding. This Manchester City team are outstanding. But, like you say, there's just that thing of, yeah, but they've, you know, they've broken FFP.
Yeah, no, so, I totally agree with you. I do totally agree with you.
Hi, guys. Please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com with your comments, feedback, any funny stories you'd like us to share on the pod. We want to hear it. We love the feedback. We love the comments. We want to share it. I mean, we probably won't even remember to share it. We'll probably forget. But email us anyway, footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
But coming on to staying with FFP just for a second. So well done, Man City. Yeah, great job. just staying on
so
FFP.
Bitter.
Did you, and this is going to cheer you up, actually. So talking of bitter, I think we're about to see a bitter Benjani.
Oh, there you go.
Barcelona.
Nah, fuck them.
Could be expelled from the Champions League because of their FFP breaches.
Oh, what a day. Love this news, Will.
Mm.
That's good.
So with the ESL, FFP, Barcelona might not be in the Champions League.
That's less than what they deserve. They should be banned forever. They should be kicked out of La Liga as well, I think, to be honest with you. Maybe they could play in the South American League. It's only next to them, isn't it, in Portugal? They could do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fantastic news.
Pure, but I've got a bit. Do you know what? I've got a bit of beef with you actually on your bants.
Why?
Just because when like you just kick a man when they're down. Like I made an error on the predictions. I held my hands up. I apologise. I said I'm fucking annoyed with it. I post the new predictions up. Ben is straight there. Oh, I hope the fixtures are right. Oh, God, bore off, mate.
Well, I was just stating a fact. I was hoping it would generate conversation within our socials.
No, that's what I was thinking. No, I can just see you there, right? Phone in hand, licking your lips, going inside your head. You go, this will fucking show him. Is the fixtures correct this week? And a little laugh to yourself.
What a freak that was. I feel sorry for Selge. If that's what you do, Selge, want to have some sex? That's just so fucking creepy, mate.
How did you know that was my come to bed voice?
Oh, Selge just told me so many times.
Honestly, there's so many mum jokes in here. Yeah, but let's just crack on. Let's just crack on.
Let's talk about some nice news, shall we? Rebecca Welch was the first female ref to referee a game in the Premier League.
And Samuel Allison was the first black man, to referee for 15 years. Yeah. Which
Thanks
is mad.
For clarifying, he was a man, yeah. That's nice.
Well, you know, there are some Samuels that might not be a man.
No, it's just nice to clarify, yeah, so the listeners know exactly what content they're getting. It's a nice time
it's
for the
mad,
Prem, isn't it?
Though, isn't it? It's mad that since... I've forgotten the person's name. It was Sean... something who was the Lions person.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago actually when that first happened, and now we've had a female referee. I think it just shows how progressive the Premier League is becoming, but not enough.
Was it not enough? What needs to be done to make it better for you then?
It's 2023 that we should have more women officiating, more black people officiating, more black managers, maybe even a woman as a manager for a men's team. We've got men managing in the women's league. You know, I feel like it could be more could be done to tackle sexism and racism in football.
Do you know what I'd like in football, especially with the referees to begin with? It just have good referees.
The refereeing in England is appalling.
It's absolutely dire. But just have some good referees would be nice.
Yeah,
and then,
I agree.
You know, if they've got different sort of backgrounds, or varied backgrounds that can, you know, bring it up and sort of showcase minority, then fantastic, great, and kind of break that stigma and the sort of preconceptions of it, then absolutely that's great. But let's just get some good refs, please.
Fair play. I agree. Where should we go, bro?
Lovely. I just wanted to talk. I know it's happened in a game, but it's going to be a big talking point. The Bernd Leno shove on the ball boy.
Oh, mate. I liked Bernd Leno. When he was at Arsenal, when he left, I was like, oh, I wish you nothing but the best, man. And
right,
when
Adele.
He did that. Huh?
All right, Adele. Wish you nothing but the best for you.
Is that a song?
Yes, mate. I agree with you, yeah. Bernd Leno come across as such a lovely guy.
I love it when you... Yes, mate. Right, anyway.
Yeah, just move on. Just lost. Absolutely lost that.
Honestly, just the way you talk to me sometimes, just like, oh, you're a cunt.
Mate, it's not... I didn't do anything like that.
You do!
I said a joke
you
didn't get it, so I moved on. Listeners want
just
good
the way
content.
Just you make me feel, Ben.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, anyways. No, what was you saying about your thoughts on Leno? That you love him?
Well, yeah, no, I thought actually he's a nice guy. I quite like him. And then when he did that. So, did you see it?
Yeah, I seen the shove.
Do you want to tell the listeners what happened?
So, the ball boy was kind of just holding on to it a little bit longer, but Bernd Leno was rushing to get it back, in play. And he's kind of taken... Correct me if I'm wrong, he's taken the ball off him and then shoved him.
And then shoved him, yeah.
Why? It's not as though he's holding it on. It's not like the ball boy with Eden Hazard way back when, where he's proper holding on to it and like Hazard's kicking the ball off him. That's different, because that ball boy, in my opinion, was being a complete knob, trying to slow the game down deliberately, which I get, that's what they all do. But
yeah.
This one for Leno, he wasn't slowing the game down. He just wasn't in that half a second giving him the ball.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, it seems out of character from what we've ever seen from Leno. Obviously, we've not had the opportunity to interview him on this pod yet. But Leno, if you're listening, reach out. We'd love to have you on and hear your side.
Well, I think as well, definitely do that, Ben, because obviously you'll be listening. you'll be one of the three people that do. Yeah.
Leno, Iwobi and you.
But they love us in Fulham. I think then he went over and he gave the lad a little cuddle, and then he sort of came out and was like, oh yeah, no, yeah, hands up. I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't know whether him going thereafter made it worse.
Yeah, oh, I think it did, because he's like, oh yeah, my bad, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it was your bad. Like, you're not. I know it wasn't a big shove. I know it wasn't like the end. Like, it wasn't. It didn't hurt the kid. But it's like.
The kid looks up to people like him, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All kids do.
All kids look up to Bert Leno.
Jack wants to be a goalkeeper. Like, if he looks at that and then he's like, okay, so I have to just shove people like that. Thank God he's not a goalkeeper in the days of Jens Lehmann. He'll just be running out and pushing people over left, right, and centre.
Punching them in the ribs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed a bit of a strange shove, that.
Strange shove.
Strange moment. A moment of madness, some may say. A moment of madness.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I completely agree. Anything else from you, or do you want to move on to the Premier League?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast.
I think we should, because we had quite a lot of games already happening.
We have one and a half rounds of games. When's... I don't know. It was just before the Villa game?
Before Villa Sheffield, yeah?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was a Friday.
That would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So Villa drew 1-1 with Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Shocking result.
Bit of a shocking one, wasn't it? Because they actually looked like they could have lost that. It was only because Zaniolo scored in the 97th minute that they drew.
Proper desperate times. But Sheffield United are awful.
Okay, go on.
I think the goal was lucky. I think the goal was kind of gifted them by Villa. They just had a bit more space at the back than Villa normally do. But just like the whole play of Sheffield United is awful. They don't seem to offer really anything going forwards. Their defensive line is just all over the shot. They're just not a Premier League level team by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think... I mean, they're looking better than what they were at the start of the season, to be fair. They do look a little bit more organised. But it just makes you wonder how the hell they got promoted.
Well, yeah.
I
think that just shows you the levels where the Premier League and the Championship are at is so far removed.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think they were better than they have been to get that draw. I think they were certainly better than they have been. But
I don't think Villa were as good as they have been. That's the only reason Sheffield got that draw.
I think they were. I think Villa just kept missing chances. I think that they were still all right. But yeah, that they were nowhere near as good as they have been. But you know, Sheffield were. But I think you're right. Defensively, Sheffield are really poor. I think was it Burns who's had this, more red cards than goals this season? McBurney.
Yeah, I think yeah.
McBurney. Yeah.
Was he had two red cards?
Two red cards, one goal. two from the weekend now. But yeah, anyway. I think it's a funny one. They sit bottom of the table, 9 points from 18 games at this point. 19 games.
That's terrible, isn't it? That is so bad.
Yeah. So really bad.
I don't think
they've won more games.
Sorry.
One more games than I expected. Sorry.
Yeah, but I thought they'd probably draw a few more than what they've got, but they're just awful. I'll be surprised if they. I think this a couple of weeks ago I said they'll probably hit 15 or so. I don't know whether they will at this point. Just looking at their performances, I know they've got a draw against Villa, and there will be teams that take them for granted because it's Sheffield United. You know, they're going to be the whipping boys of the league this season.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, they'll get a few points from there. But I just don't see them doing anything really. To be honest with you, just don't see them doing a thing.
No,
West Ham, Man United, solid 2-0 win from West Ham, but two teams that I feel are quite unpredictable this season.
Yeah,
West Ham are going about their business quietly, effectively. You know, they're delivering more than they're not delivering, but they just have. They just seem to have an upset in their game, in their squad. Every now and then, they'll just put in an awful performance. You think, where did that come from?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be nice for me to say, but I think Antonio getting that injury has probably been a blessing in disguise for West Ham.
Ooh.
Because they... Ooh. I know. But they've... with. It's Sakoudis, Bowen, and oh my God, what's his name?
Alvarez,
no, the winger, the other winger. Oh my God,
Benrahma,
Paqueta.
Lucas Paqueta.
They have.
He plays in centre, mate. But yeah.
Oh sure. I think has been. Absolutely fantastic. You know Paqueta has been playing on the wing, right?
Yeah, but he's not a winger by trade.
Oh, okay, right.
He's sort of, he's that winger that cut. He's kind of like Saka in a way. He doesn't like.
Who's the winger?
Sorry, kind of like Erdegaard or someone like that. So they do drift out, but generally they're in that middle, cutting inside and making those passes.
Number 10.
Yeah, so it's not a winger. It's more like
an
8 or a 10.
An 8 or a 10. Well, he's number 10 for West Ham. But so he's been playing on the wing. And they've been doing that sort of transitional, haven't they, where they sort of change positions across the front three with Ward-Prowse sort of sitting behind in almost that number 10 role. For those three...
Fuck's
really, up. Really good. Because it's interesting when I said the other winger and you said Alvarez, he's been playing as a kind of a number 8.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen him play really much, so.
No.
I just thought he was a new signing.
Suchek in the middle there as well.
Oh, no, Suchek, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. Not really enough room for Paqueta to be in the middle, I would say, arguably.
It does if you bench one of them.
This, honestly, this feels like payback for that fucking predictions comment. I'm not going to lie.
But yeah, back to the point, though. Yeah, West Ham are doing well.
They are good. Man United were not good.
No. And that's just Man United this season, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Man United this season all over.
And they've lost more games this season than in any other Premier League season, if I'm not mistaken.
It's mad, we're only halfway through.
8 games they've lost.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. Yeah.
Can't be right, can it?
Yeah, it probably is.
Jesus.
Sounds about right. Good old. Because they've been spanked a few times as well.
Yeah, they have. Most recently by West Ham with Paqueta on the wing.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was a spanking. It's like 2-0.
It could have been worse.
It could have.
It could have been worse. I think Bowen could have had a couple more.
Yeah.
Bowen.
Yeah. Tottenham won, disappointingly. They beat Everton 2-1.
Another Rich Atkinson goal.
Mate, how is Rich Atkinson scoring now?
It's really just a bit of confidence, isn't it?
So disappointing, though.
Yeah, and Son as well. I think Son is a top quality player. He's definitely up there with the Golden Boot, I think.
Son scored as many goals as he did last season already.
Very good.
It's just that change, that more centre forward for a lot of the time. And he's had that freedom now, rather than just pass the ball in. He's like, I want to take a shot. Don't just look for Kane every time, take a shot.
Yeah. Well, he can't look for Kane now.
Well, he can, but it should be really far away. I don't think he can kick it that far.
Can he kick it, though?
Yes, he can.
Handball, though. Oh, very sorry. Good.
Huh? Handball.
Very good.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think they've still got their weaknesses, but for, 4 months, 5 months or so now, have been there, well, 6 months maybe, June was that. He's transformed that team, which is disappointing to see from an Arsenal perspective. Don't like it, Will. I don't like it.
No.
Because it makes us like Ange.
I always like Ange. I've always liked Ange. I just don't like Tottenham.
I hate Tottenham little bit less.
This is the problem.
El Problemo. Bournemouth Forest.
Bournemouth are a different class at the moment, aren't they?
They are. They're hard to predict, I find. Hence why I'm so bad at predictions this season.
You are. Although I think you've won this week. You got one bang on.
Yeah, I got the Liverpool bang on, didn't I? But Bournemouth 3-2 against Forest. And Forest were at home. But they did get a red card, to be fair.
Yeah, that was the Willy Bolly one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did you think that was for a second yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a yellow. He got the ball.
Yeah, you don't think it was a yellow because it wasn't a yellow, mate. He got the ball, and actually he was. I meant this. This is reminding me. He didn't play yesterday because he was suspended.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it.
That's the problem with VAR. You can't overturn a yellow card once it's given.
Mental, but they should have appealed, and I assume they did appeal. Did they? No, what did they not?
I haven't read anything. You can't appeal two yellows. You can only appeal a red card. You can't appeal getting two yellows in a game.
Okay. That needs changing, because that was a really poor... I mean, VAR is there to mess up the rest of football, so why not try and keep this one?
You sorted. Say that needs changing, but it needs to be changing on the day. I don't think you should be able to appeal it after. VAR should be able to overturn yellows during the game, but you shouldn't be able to appeal two yellows after. Because that is, unfortunately, part and parcel of football. If the ref and VAR haven't seen it, you deal with it. You can't then go and appeal, oh, well, we should have had a penalty at the end of that game, so we're going to appeal it, and then you get a penalty. You have a little penalty shootout and see how many points you can get out of it.
You're comparing apples with pears there.
Yeah, they're both fruits, aren't they? Still the same thing.
You should
look at a bigger picture than the same thing.
You should be able to, if someone's going to be banned for a game or two, how many games do you get banned for a two yellows?
One.
Three. Is it one? It's three for a red card then.
Yeah. Four so for your second red.
You're going to be... Sorry?
It's four. Once you get a second red card, you get then banned for four games.
Yeah. And what is it two games if you get five yellows?
No, it's one game, I think.
Is it one game?
Yeah, Mitter's next match, yeah.
We're good at this, aren't we? Anyway.
Go on. Yeah, I'm telling you, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're good at this then. So...
Don't take my glory, Will.
I think if you're going to be banned for a game, there should be an appeal process.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's it then.
No, I think yellow cards is... If you overturn the yellow card, I think if we gave VAR the power to overturn a yellow card during the game...
But when he bullied them, but Forrest have lost the game because Bolly got sent off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I agree with you.
Because of that. So yeah. They should be able to interfere and say, nah, fam, that is not a second yellow card. That is not a red card offence.
I agree with you on that, but there shouldn't be something after that. Because if VAR don't deem it a thing, then no. VAR is the best thing in the world.
Ah. You're supposed to be
the best thing in the world, but it's not. But if they could overturn it and they had the power to overturn the yellow, then you wouldn't need that appeals process, because the appeal would be, well, we go to the ref and the VAR and look at their match reports and stuff. There's no grounds for it, so see you later.
Fair enough.
But yeah, going back to the point, Bournemouth are smashing it at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah. Iola has got them playing really well.
They have. And then next game, Fulham Burnley. Well, I don't know what Fulham are doing at the moment.
I think Jimenez, red card. Willian is injured. I think they just. I don't know. It's almost like they got a bit of a nosebleed from being, you know, so high up after scoring 10 goals in two games.
Yeah, they scored all their goals too early.
Yeah. Where did Fulham get a goal? Who knows?
Oh, here we go again.
Honestly, though, they are... Where do Fulham get their goals from? Because they haven't got like a proven goal scorer in their team, even with Jimenez in there. I mean, Willian, you could argue, has been, but he's getting old now and he's not as good as he used to be. So where do they get that consistency from? And I think this is proving the point, because they haven't scored.
Yeah, they didn't replace Mitrovic at all, did they? Obviously, he left quite late in the window. So I think the striker's got to be their first priority in a couple of days' time when the window opens again. Which, by the way, I am buzzing for. Love the winter window.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as good this year. I think Liverpool are expected to sign one or two. I don't think City will. I don't know that Arsenal will. Manchester United might. Chelsea will inevitably sign eight players for 100 million each.
And then sell 16 players for like 10 million each.
Yeah, exactly.
And say,
yeah.
Books the balance, lads.
Yeah. We got a 10-year deal.
Now they voted for that, though, now haven't they? You can only spread the cost across 5 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Chelsea, weirdly enough, voted for that as well. Because they'd already manipulated the law as much as they can.
Yeah, they're like...
But they've done it now. We're fine.
We've got Mudryk for 8 years. Yeah. Let's not have any other team fall for that shit. Let's vote it out right now.
Yeah, you can't do that. You're not allowed to.
We can't have that happen again.
No chance.
We really suffered.
But yeah, so yeah, you're right. I don't know where Fulham get their goals from, but Burnley are looking to click a little bit more now. They seem to be a lot more stable defensively.
I think James Trafford had a really good game.
Mate, he made I can't remember. Did they play the other day? Oh, I think it was against Liverpool where he made a cracking save. Or against
Fulham.
Yeah,
he made a couple against Liverpool.
He was coming across and the ball was sort of dipping and swerving. He sort of changed hands. He was going for this, then had to kind of get that one further up and tip over and tip it wide. I can't remember if it was that game or the other one. They're all so close together now. But yeah, I think they're doing okay now. They're doing okay.
Yeah.
Decent. A bit of a shock upset. Luton Town 1, Newcastle United 0.
Yeah, that was the first game after Lockyer had his cardiac arrest. They brought on, I think they're going to make it a thing now, aren't they, where they bring on the shirt before the game. And
yeah,
I think Townsend scored and he went and grabbed the shirt as well to parade it around, which was a nice thing. But yeah, great goal from Townsend. First goal for 2 years for him. And I think he's starting to really fight. He was struggling to find a team, wasn't he, Townsend? And I think he got in with Luton.
Deal, isn't it?
But he's doing really well.
He is. Bit of Premier League experience there for them. Did you see he got the ball stuck on the roof as well?
Oh, did he? No, I didn't see that.
It stuck him from the roof. Someone had to go and get it.
Amazing. I did notice that he's got Townsend Senior on the back of his shirt now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he? He hasn't always had that, has he?
No. And I don't know. I don't know if that's just me getting old, but he doesn't seem like a senior.
How old is he? He's only got to be early
30s. He's in 30s. His 30s. Yeah, he's early 30s. And I'm like, am I like Salisbury Senior?
I mean, technically you are now that Jack's playing football.
It's mad though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm going to get your football shirt with Salisbury Senior on the back. Fucking love this. When we all return to football, this is it. Getting football shirts. Salisbury Senior.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I'm feeling it as well. Well done, Luton Town. Newcastle, I know they're struggling with injuries.
They don't travel well, though, either. It's not just injuries.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But they did just play at home. We'll come on to that. But yeah, you are right. They're not travelling well. Talking of travelling, to travel to Scouseland and go to Anfield and get a point is pretty good.
Second teams take points from them this season at Anfield, which is amazing. I'm really interested, and I'd like to have anyone who's listening to give us your thoughts from a neutral perspective or a Liverpool fans perspective of just how entertaining that game was.
It was pretty end-to-end, wasn't it?
I loved it. Even though I was an Arsenal fan, I loved that game. We were all over them for a while, Liverpool all over us. There were some proper fluid counter-attacks. I mean, Liverpool's goal, I mean, that pass from Trent was fucking annoyingly world-class. Zinchenko made it look better than what it was.
That was, yeah.
But I don't want to take any credit away from Liverpool for that because Salah obviously twisted him inside out and Salah does what Salah does. Everyone knows that. Zinchenko proved that his defensive credentials are shit.
Well, I think that's harsh because he's in the penalty area. Zinchenko has got so much on his mind of, holy shit, this is Mo Salah. I can't bring him down because then it's a penalty. I need to get a tackle in. Okay, he did flick a foot at him. But he could have done better, I do agree. But I don't know if that means
that movement. You push him to the outside. The
way Mo Salah moves, you don't know where he's really going to go. You've got an idea that he's going to bring it back onto that left foot and smash it, but Mo Salah might not. He could come in and then cut out again. So you don't know where he's going. So you're like, and you're almost like trying to guess, and then he takes it out, and it's like, I think Zinchenko was almost going to the left because that he took a gamble. He's like, oh, he's going left. Oh no, he's gone. He's hit it out.
I agree with you, but I think he should be forcing Salah to go to Zinchenko's left, not cutting in infield again. Because then the danger is less. And it gives us another second or two to get the defenders back in position, marking, getting their lines back or whatever it may be.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
As I said,
that
I don't want
to
detract from it.
With hindsight.
Yeah, and I appreciate in the moment, it's very difficult to sort of get that totally. Obviously, we're fan pundits, so you know we're always going to see it that way. But I don't want to detract it from what a fucking an incredible pass. But what a finish.
The pass was great. The goal was great. Yeah, it was a good goal.
Walloped that in the fucking net. There was no way anyone was going to get that whatsoever. I think even if Raya was another foot taller and got his hands to it, I think that would have just snapped his wrist. It would have just snapped backwards.
Yeah. I'm interested to know your thoughts on this because it's going to be hard to say. But...
Oh, I know what you're going to say here.
VAR and the handball rule has been consistent and annoyingly consistent because I don't agree with the handball rule. But why did Liverpool not get a penalty when Ødegaard played basketball in the penalty area? They said he fell, but he... Which I can kind of see he did sort of fall, but not really.
There's no... Right, yeah, I agree with you. It looked... So, just on that quickly, there's no way he fell. Because you cannot transfer your weight by bouncing a football and going, oh, I'm back up again. Look, that doesn't happen. There's no way a football will support the weight of a man. But the whole incident, when I watched it in real time... I was like, nah, that's bollocks, that's not a pen. It all happened so quickly, I was like, that's not a pen. Then I watched it in slow-mo about 3 or 4 times. I was like, whoo, we are well lucky we haven't got a pen here.
But what I don't understand, in most games, as soon as the ball goes, like literally, I've seen it where it sort of like grazes the hand.
Yeah, pen.
And they've gone, yeah, pen. Yeah. Ødegaard touched it with his hand twice and nothing was given. And it's like, because he stumped, but because he was falling over. But it doesn't matter. His arm is not in a natural place. I don't know whether it was just really intelligent play by her. I can't work out whether he meant to do it. And he deserves a round of applause for his intelligence because he sort of brought his arm back in and, like, it was mental how that wasn't a pen. And another reason why VAR just needs to be sorted. We just need to sort it.
Yeah, VAR needs to be stripped back and do the sort of obvious decisions, the ones that where the rules are black and white. It's not subjective. Anything that's subjective needs to be done by the on-field referee. And if he needs help, then ask VAR for their opinion and make a decision from there. But I think it needs to be stripped back so much.
Why can't he go and look at the camera and just go, oh, yeah, okay. Because it's almost like with that...
Show me some video evidence.
Referee, go and have a look at it. And then you know that the referee's going to go and look at it. He's going to get shown the ball at Ødegaard's hand. And then he's going to go, right, pen. Yeah. Actually, no. Show him all of it. Show him it all. Go and show...
And show it in real time, not just slowly. Show it in real time as well.
Yeah.
Because like some of the challenges that you've seen flying about and stuff, in real time, you go, oh, that's... I'm sorry, in slow-mo, you go, oh, that looks bad. You see like their leg like going the opposite way it should. But if you watch it in real time, they've slipped or whatever. Like Saka in this game slipped. You could see there was a slip just before, and that's how he escaped that second yellow. But watching the full speed, I was like, well, he's off, see you later. And I was like, we are well lucky. But then looking at the replay, you can definitely see he slips. He doesn't mean to. And he immediately goes to help him up and says, like, you know, I'm really sorry. So you could see that was a genuine mistake and, you know, it was beyond help. But again, I think we were very lucky. Very lucky.
Yeah, but so a couple of things. I think Arsenal drawing is almost like a bit of a win for us, really. I think going to Anfield and getting a point is great, and we would have taken that at the start of the game. So I think doing that shows that Arsenal are really up for this title challenge, which is fantastic to see from our point of view. And I think Liverpool waterlogging their pitch was another sign that they really rate the way Arsenal play football because they wanted to slow the ball down. They wanted to make it a slippery surface.
Mm-hmm.
which they did do, but Saka taking out, was it Szoboszlai? Yeah. And then Klopp falling on top of him.
Oh, no, it was Tsimikas. Tsimikas went off with a collarbone, didn't he? Yeah.
Tsimikas, and then he's broken his collarbone, hasn't he? Which is really sad, and like, that's not what, you know, anybody wanted. But it was funny
to watch Klopp go over. But I love also the fact that Klopp went over, sprung straight back up, didn't check on Tsimikas immediately, looked straight back at the game, and then looked and was like, oh shit.
Yeah, mate, he was like, ah, that's a foul, blah, 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 get Saka off, blah, blah, blah. But Saka was just, it was just a good challenge, just because you walked along your pitch, mate.
Yeah, I saw nothing wrong with that challenge. I genuinely didn't. But yeah, anyway, they should have had a pen. But can we talk about the shit your pants moment where Liverpool had five players attacking us?
So, you say shit your pants. Who was the one player that was back?
Yeah, Declan Rice. Every time, Declan Rice. But my I'm sorry, God. As good as Declan Rice is, he ain't as good as five Liverpool attacking players, mate. We're just lucky they passed a Trent over anyone else.
I don't know if it was. Yeah, I don't know who it was meant for.
Just slightly.
It did, but I think Declan. Like, I really like Declan Rice. Just in case if you didn't know, but he is there. The way he defended that was because he knew he was backtracking, like. Salah running with the ball, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He is quick. Declan Rice was running backwards. His strides were so big that he was kind of keeping up with him. I was like, how is he running backwards as quick as Salah's running forwards?
Yeah. Right. But did you see how rapid Trent was?
But look, I'm still talking about Rice here. Don't interrupt me.
Sorry.
But the ball was passed. Rice was bang on it. He ran straight for where that ball was going, and I think there was a bobble, which is why he hit the crossbar. But I think Rice put him under pressure as well because he was straight on him. He was like straight there. Yeah. I am going for that ball. £100 million, mate. People were laughing at us Let's pay West Ham more. Let's not buy anyone. Just give them more money for him.
I've seen so many memes where everyone's like, look, just give West Ham Declan Rice back and then buy him for 500 million. Honestly, he's raised us to another level. He really has. It was one of those that most people knew that he'd be fine with that transition into, you know, a bigger club, bigger team, like pushing up to that next level. Within the leagues and stuff. You know, he's done it for England year on year for God knows how long now. But there was always that slight reservation of, oh, can he do that? Or will he take a little while to integrate? Mate, he started the first game, hasn't looked back.
Yeah. Let's see what happens on tomorrow when he goes back. But
I think he'll get a good reception, though.
100%.
They'll be mad to boo him or whatever. I want to talk about the Wolves-Chelsea game in not loads of detail, but a little bit here. Because the Wolves
shoot
won
2-1. Shoot your load, my man.
And I know we've got a guest coming on in the next couple of weeks who people will know. It is fan favourite Ali Campbell. He's coming back for a few weeks with us to share his thoughts and challenge us a little bit more, stop us being so biased. But Chelsea were fucking awful.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading my notes here quickly. So Di Zazzi had a slip and fucked up and let them in. Wolves should have scored against any of the big, more clinical teams. That would have been a goal. Thiago Silva slipped, gave the ball away. Again, could have been another goal with a more clinical team. Badiashile slipped, gave the actual goal away in the end, which turned out to be the winning goal. Selfish Sterling, I've written down here. He decided he was one-on-one with the keeper, but he also had Cole Palmer and I can't remember who else it was with them. And he decided to have a shot. All he has to do is side that to Palmer, that's a goal. But he's so selfish. And so, no, I'm the main man. This is what I'm doing. Cole Palmer could have just side-footed that in and it's an easy goal. I just think, what are they doing? Malo Gusto messed up again at one point, tracking back. I don't know what he was doing. I genuinely don't know what he was doing. Just missed the ball completely. It's as though he dummied the ball, but he didn't have the ball. Like, Wolves were against him, and he dummied it by jumping over it. I was like, what are you doing? Again, could have been another goal. They're just fucking awful.
Just had Selge in to try and wind me up. Sorry, I didn't listen to a lot of what you just said.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm glad.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Chelsea were awful. Wolves deserved the win. Matt Doherty scored his first goal again for Wolves now on his return.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, happy days.
What did you think of Nkunku then? Back now?
Changes.
What was your thoughts?
Changes him completely. Yeah. Scored on his debut. Good looped header. He had a goal cleared, had a shot cleared off the line as well, so that could have been a goal.
So what are your thoughts? So you wanted to talk a little bit more about Chelsea. What do they need? What do they do? What goes on?
They need more communication and need to gel as a team.
Because there was a few slips, weren't there? Like you say, a few slips. Was that because Chelsea were poor? Or was that because of a similar situation to the Arsenal game?
No, because they were poor. Because the slips, they weren't even necessarily slips, they were just missed timing.
Just a bit slip-ups, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had 68% possession, they had 16 shots, 5 of those shots were on target. What's missing?
They just need more time to gel. They just need more time, I think.
So you don't think Poch needs to go?
No, I don't think so. They've had so many changes, they need a bit of stability, but they were just awful. They just need some better coaching defensively to get that. They need a settled team. They've got so many players, so I can imagine it's hard. I know Poch said earlier in the season they've got too big of a squad, because he always likes working with small squads as well. They've just got too many players.
Have they got too many players?
Yeah, they've got, I think, 34 people in their team.
Yeah, but, you know, when he was at Tottenham, like you say, he likes small squads, he would have had 30-odd players in the squad.
Not in the first-team training, no. So they've got 33 or 34 first-teamers in
there. Yeah. So let me finish. So he would have still had 30-odd players in that squad that he would have needed, but he would have dropped them out because they wouldn't have been, you know, they're not going to be high profile names that probably Chelsea have got. But you stick, you find your squad and you stick to it. That's what you train with. The others are kind of dismissed into like reserve training or whatever it is. He's still got the ability to do that. Is it that he doesn't know what his strongest squad is, that he's not done that?
Yeah, probably there is an element of that. Yeah, I think there is going to be an element of he still needs to find out what players are made of. I know they've had quite a few injuries, to be fair, as well, so it's hard to have that settled team. But yeah, I think he still needs time to be able to stamp his mark on the team or whatever and see what's happening.
Yeah.
But remains to be seen.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean, Ben. Thank you.
Boxing Day games. Do you want to kick it off?
So shall we start with Newcastle United at home, where they don't go away very well?
No.
Their home form dipped a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, and Forest don't travel well, do they?
How good were Forest, though? Nuno already hitting the mark with Forest. Did they win? They won, didn't they? Oh, no, they lost to Bournemouth, that's right. So they won 3-1 against Newcastle. Chris Wood hat-trick, went back to Newcastle and showed them what they were missing.
Yeah. Christopher Karim Benzema Wood.
He was really good, wasn't he? The way Newcastle played was just to run at them. They play quite high, didn't they, Newcastle, in terms of their defensiveness. And they just, whipped the ball over, and Chris Wood did the rest, mate. Two good. That first goal was it his first goal? Was really good. I think it was his first goal. It was really, really good. And then to take it around the keeper as well.
Yeah,
I mean, mate, he's no Nick Pope, but still.
Yeah, it's. I think Newcastle are suffering without Pope big time. I think just not even necessarily the ability wise, you know, that's definitely a factor, but I think the presence side of things, because Nick Pope is just an absolute beast. He's absolutely massive. Yeah. So even if you're looking at the goal,
yeah,
he's already half beat you because he knows, well, I'm here, try and get past me. You know, his legs are like 18 fucking feet long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got a few injuries, but they've had a few people come back. So Longstaff's back now. Joel Linton's coming back into the team after his little timeout. Livramento's back. Callum Wilson's back. Isak's back. So they're still a little bit short, but not really.
But it's that defensive side now that they've lost, isn't it? A little bit.
Who?
Or Pope's out. Dan Byrne, is he still out? He's been a...
No, Byrne's back. Byrne was playing.
He? Oh, okay. Yeah. He was still out.
Botman was playing. Shaw was playing. Trippier was playing. So...
oh, I didn't realise. Pope, yeah. Oh, I thought they were still out.
No.
Okay, yeah. So that's been their first team. It's their first choice.
So it's a funny one. I don't know if they can keep blaming it on that. And I don't know how much patience the board will have for Eddie Howe. We don't know.
No. It's all delving into the unknown here, isn't it, with Newcastle especially.
We just don't know anymore. So it's an interesting one, Ben. It's an interesting one.
Interesting.
What did you think of Bournemouth then? Bournemouth 3, Fulham 0. Dominic Solanke, fresh off the back of a hatty, scored again.
Great, mate. Absolutely fantastic. He's single-handedly dragging them through this at the moment. Clinical. Well, he's got the confidence. They're playing that style where it goes through him. I think he's benefiting so much, isn't it?
I think Bournemouth are just... The way they're starting to play now is very direct. Especially when they're up front, Sinisterra seems to... He came from Leeds, didn't he? That seems to be a really good buy. Because I don't even think... I think he was on sort of the peripheral at Leeds, really. He wasn't playing all the time.
I think only signed him in the January window, though, Leeds. And they also didn't want to play in the Championship. Right. So it takes a little while to adapt. So he's only really had a year in English football. But he's definitely getting there, isn't he?
He is. And then you've got Billing... Cliver as well seems to be adapting to English football better than I thought that he would, because I wasn't sure what to make of Cliver. He does all right in Italy, but I thought, well, it's a very different game over here, but he seems to be doing all right. He had a couple of opportunities yesterday. Tavernier is just Tavernier, isn't he? He's just a Bournemouth legend. I reckon they should have a statue of him outside the stadium soon.
Yeah?
No. But Fulham, again, where do they get their goals from, Ben?
Fuck's sake. Mate, give it a rest. Poor old Fulham. Just get Bert Leno to just kick it a little bit further.
Yeah, they were poor. But yeah, he was a bit of a dick. And quite frankly, he deserved that Sinisterra goal to go straight past him into top bin territory.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. But yeah, massive, massive win for Bournemouth again. As you said a couple of weeks ago, they've definitely got their play style sorted now and it's becoming effective. So fair play to them. Luton Town again, mate.
What an entertaining game that was. 3-2 win for Luton.
Oh, yes.
Two own goals.
Away from home as well.
I think it was just Sheffield United. I think Sheffield United played really well for Sheffield United in that Championship Classic that we'll be having again next season, I'm sure. But Luton seem to be a couple of wins now.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I think that's the first time I've got back-to-back wins.
Definitely in the Premier League, yeah. 18 games, 4 wins, 3 draws, 11 losses, 15 points. They're 1 point behind Everton. 2 points behind Forest, 3 points behind Palace. So... all to play for them. Sheffield, I think defensively, as we say, were just poor. I think even Wilder said, didn't he? We didn't get out to the cross that came in for the second goal, I think it was. And yeah, when you saw the first goal go through Fodderingham's legs, he's just not a good goalkeeper.
No, I feel for him because he's made some cracking saves this season, but the goals he's conceded, now I don't know whether this isn't helped by his defenders much, so it's hard to be able to judge too much, but well, some of them, they've come at him and you think, you've got to have that.
That one of them. It regardless of how good, so if that was me and you in our, you know, professional weekly five-a-side amateur performances that we put on, if you're being beaten at your near post through your legs like that, I'm gonna be swearing at you.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'd hold my hands up like, that's my bad, sorry boys, that's my fault.
Yeah, which I think he probably did, but still, it's not acceptable. But look, no, very, very well done to Luton Town football team.
Absolutely, it's great. It is generally great to see them because just of who they are and their sort of their story recently, I think it's just.
I don't think they'll stay up. I think the three at the bottom are the three that's going to go down, which is unfortunate. But if Luton continue, they're in with a very slim chance.
Yeah. I just hope it goes towards the final week or 2 weeks before the end of the season.
It would be nice to see a bit of a scrap. Yeah, it would be nice to have a bit of a scrap. Be nice if, you know, Chelsea or United are down there. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, maybe Forest, Everton, Palace maybe. Bournemouth could be drawn down into it. But
I don't think Bournemouth will. I think they're playing too well now. They'll scrape some wins together.
You never know, though.
Liverpool-Burnley, a game that I think nobody had in doubt that Liverpool would win.
Burnley played well.
Yeah, Burnley played well, but I think we always knew, you know, the gap in sort of ability and skill-wise, we always knew it'd be a solid Liverpool win. Nice 2-0, seems pretty routine, really.
Just sort of looking at the league, I think Bournemouth are the most informed team. Actually.
Yeah, they are. At the
just going back on what I said.
Yeah.
They're the most informed team in the league. Impressive.
It's insane.
Man United Villa, good game.
Great comeback.
I thought poor team in the first half. Villa were all over it. Villa were great. The free kick from McGinn was a weird one. I just couldn't understand why Onana was just flapping.
Because that's what Onana does. That's all he does.
They were then complaining, like, oh, it was offside. Look at Leon Bailey. Leon Bailey just ran away. Like, he was there, you know, he was there to do something.
Yeah,
then he just went away. Like, just, yeah. But, yeah, well, you know, second half was a completely different team. Garnacho got a couple of goals and Hoyland got his first goal of the term.
He did. Good old Hoyland. I don't know whether this will change things a little bit for him or not. I don't think it will just yet. It's probably a massive relief for him, but he's already scored 5 in the Champions League for him this season. So it's, yeah. I don't think he's, you know, nervous or, you know, low on confidence or anything. I think it's what I touched on earlier. If he doesn't get the service.
Yeah.
So if you're only getting one shot a game, then you're not always going to score that one shot. You need 3 or 4 shots in a game to be able to score a goal, generally speaking. So, but if you're not getting those opportunities, I think in 2 games, he had 3 passes to him from Garnacho and Antony. And I was like, clearly he's not going to score then, is he?
No.
Can't give him shit for that.
No, I completely agree. But I think he's going to come good. I think he will do well. I think this will give him the confidence. I think this will give United the confidence. I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be still be fighting Tottenham for the top 4 and Villa as well. You could say, but they are 8 points off Villa now.
Yeah,
5 points off Tottenham with Tottenham having a game in hand. So it's going to be a big uphill battle for them. They could be up for the fight. Liverpool finished top of the table. Hopefully, they won't finish the year top of the table. But yeah, halfway through, and I think the league is looking juicy.
It is.
Especially at the top.
It's definitely entertaining. I'm liking the fact that Villa are a bit of a surprise package.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but it's quite nice to see different teams coming up there. I mean, Tottenham, I don't think anyone thought would be there or thereabouts in it, but, you know, they're only a couple of points behind, really.
Well, four behind Arsenal, six behind Liverpool.
Albeit game in hand. It's interesting because it's hopefully the pressure on City, if they get another draw or something like that, just lets the other guys kind of get away from it. I think if they're only chasing one team, it's a bit easier for them to focus on it. Like it was with us last season. But the fact that Liverpool are up there and not dropping, Villa, you know, they've dropped a few recently, admittedly, but you can't discount them and rule them out at the moment. So hopefully City stumble again.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Should we say goodbye and we'll do a bit more of a roundup for the European football next week?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a bit of a bumper episode, this, talking about our Christmases.
Certainly is.
But it's lovely to see you, mate. We need to go
nice
and have a few beers in person.
Certainly will.
Roll on 2024. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Take care. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5-star on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us hashtag drop the pod.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.